You got your Bible? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you want to find out if Brother Nash is doing his job right, whether you ought to kick him out or give him a raise, you go to the first of three pastoral epistles. They call them pastoral epistles because Timothy and Titus were written to two pastors. You should know that, right? And in Timothy, there's three things that are found in there about whether your preacher's doing his job right, right? Don't turn to it, but 2 Timothy 2 says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Let me back it up here, give you a different version of it. Yeah, endure no man that, I'm just quoting another, I want you to go to 1 Timothy 4, but I'm reading out of 2 Timothy 2. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. He gets into Amway and starts trying to sign you people up so he can make some commission off of your stupid sales. Throw them out. You don't entangle yourself with worldly affairs when you're trying to pastor a church. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. See that? Written it to a pastor. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Your pastor is studying, and he's rightly dividing that Bible and teaching it to you correctly. He's pleasing him who's chosen him. That's how you please your boss when you're a preacher. The third one is sitting right here. And if you start, Brother Nash, do me a favor. Read that for me, will you? Chapter 4, verse 1, right on down to verse 4.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith.
Let's make believe this is a black church. I know black preachers. I got 20 black preacher friends. I'm the pastor. He's the deacon. He's reading the scripture for me. And I'm going to interrupt him as he's going. Go ahead, brother.
Given heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils.
Help me, Jesus.
Speaking lies and hypocrisy.
Uh-huh.
Having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Go up to the first verse, my brother.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith.
Shall depart from the faith. That's not Hindus or Muslims. That's folks connected with Orthodox historic Christianity at one time. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Jump to verse 3.
Forbidding to marry.
Ooh, you can't get married. Hello.
And commanding to abstain from meat.
I grew up eating tuna fish on one Friday, scrambled eggs on the other Friday. As a little kid, my Lutheran mother helping me to keep the laws of the church. I couldn't eat meat on Fridays. Say amen. Go ahead.
And commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving.
Verse 6.
If thou put the brethren.
If thou put the brethren.
In remembrance of these things.
Uh-huh.
Thou shalt be a good minister.
Thank you very much.
Of Jesus Christ.
Is he a good minister? Does he warn you about Rome? That's the greatest prophecy about the Catholic Church. And if you want to know what God thinks about that mess, he's got two chapters in Revelation dedicated to the future destruction of Mystery Babylon, the great whore, who sits on the city of seven mountains. I've been to Italy 6 times. Anybody know what Rome's nickname is? The city of seven hills. Now, some of you are getting shocked now. A lot of new people in here don't know me. What's that, Lord? Do they need another Italian Joe? Tony and Vinny, two Italian hitmen going through the woods late at night. Moon out there, owls hooting, scary. Finally, Tony says to Vinny, he says, you know, Vinny, as good a friend as you and I is all these years, I don't mind admitting to you, I'm kind of scared out here tonight. And Tony, and Vinny says to Tony, he says, you're scared. I got to walk out of here alone in about 10 minutes. Say amen. All right. Now, look, I'm going to jump into something right here. Now, I got 7 books out there. You folks, most of you have most of my books. I appreciate that. This book is the hardest book for me to keep in print because of the homeschool mothers. Buy them up like crazy. This is my wife's favorite book. But we've got more nice letters from people that have written this book. My two most treasured letters, Jesse Helms, the most famous senator in the history of this country, wrote me the nicest letter, said he read it during Christmas. He's a Baptist deacon at his church in North Carolina, the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, North Carolina. I got a nice letter from Judge Roy Moore, the Ten Commandments judge. Matter of fact, I have a preacher friend in Alabama, David Sauls. He told me the other day he ran into Judge Moore in a restaurant, and they just talked about this book for 45 minutes. That's a privilege. That's an honor for me. That's God's blessing on what I'm trying to do. And then, Sean Hannity's got a copy. I don't know if he's ever read it. A preacher friend of mine in Long Island handed him a copy. So it's been around a block a long time. It's the second most printed book I have. Final Authority is the first. This one, this is the 12th printing right here. It's been around. I got another one, 13th printing. We just got it in another part of my storage area. Now, I'm going to give you one of the most profound things that's in this book. This is called What If God Wrought, A Biblical Interpretation of American History. For instance, yesterday I was talking to somebody on the phone, Gene Carpenter. He's a Hiles Anderson graduate pastoring in Somerville, South Carolina. He called me, he said, what's going on? I said, I'm passing the most holy ground this country knows anything about. And most people don't know about it. It's the most holiest spot in this country. We're at Gumshoe Park over in Orange County, Virginia, on the USS, on the U.S. Constitution Highway, right through Orange. There's a little park there called the Leland Madison Park. He's taught that to you. I spent 5 years in Bible college cashing tuition payments with a wife and three kids trying to prepare to become a Baptist minister. Nobody in the whole school, 5 years, ever mentioned that man's name. And that little park I was passing is a little historical park. It's the place where the Baptist preacher's home stood, John Leland, where James Madison, the man who wrote the Constitution, met that preacher at his home and begged him to endorse him to go to the Constitutional Convention in Richmond in order to get the Constitution through the government. And that Baptist preacher would not do it until he got a promise from James Madison that a Bill of Rights would be forthcoming to give freedom of religion in this country. And they made a deal there. And that's an historical fact. And not one Baptist in 100 knows anything about it. We deal with that stuff in this book, Baptist contributions to this government and to the foundation of America. You'll never hear any of it. You can watch the History Channel till the cows come home, and you won't hear anything about it. Now, I'm going to give you something out of this book, and again, I'm not trying to sell this to you. Most all of you have this book. If you don't, you're going to go to purgatory. Praise God. Hallelujah. But, my wife's not here. She can't travel with me very much. She has arthritis in both knees. And one of the main reasons she has the arthritis is because of what's in this book. Okay? Let me tell you her story. She was driving to church one Sunday. I travel 1,000 miles a week. And I was somewhere out of the country or out of the area. She's going to church on a Sunday night. And two illegal aliens ran a red light, smashed into an old guy about 90 years old. His car smashed into my wife's car. The bag imploded. She's taken out of the car on a stretcher. And she survived, but she had some bad damage to her knees. The two illegal aliens ran across the street, according to what the policeman told me. Crossed the street, went to a gas station, got a couple of bottles of Coke, and then disappeared into the Safe House network in Knoxville, Tennessee. No haven, no illegal alien haven city. Tennessee. And that policeman was cussing to me. Jim Vineyard said, you write the cuss words down, I'll sign my name to him. Right? Anybody know anything wrong with the borders tonight? Let's see, Joe Biden. Is he a good Baptist or Catholic? That bum was in my father's house 22 times when he was a senator. My stepmother's in politics in Delaware. She's in heaven now. She's on the state finance committee, and she's a Republican. She said that guy was a bum, shaking hands like this all the time, always trying to get something from my stepmother. I told you the nutty story about how the Lord worked it out, that I sold her and her first husband their crazy cash registers for that nightclub. I told you that. So, but I want you to remember, he's a good fish eater. That's an old expression for a Roman Catholic. And listen, if you're overly pious or dense in the head or something wrong with you, I'm not hateful toward Catholic people for 5 minutes. I think that man that just got saved was a Roman Catholic. It's the system that keeps those people enslaved.
Yes, sir.
That's what any good Catholic hates to get saved.
Yes, sir.
And God hates them so much, he's going to blow the whole city up in 1 hour. Read Revelation 17 and 18.
Yes.
But all that to say this, I'd like to let you know what's wrong with the borders tonight. if you're interested. Anybody interested? There's 21,000 Chinese nationalists roaming around this country as of last month. I mean, you know what's going on? How would you like to find out where it all started? You're never going to get this on the History Channel. Anybody ever heard of Samuel Morse, the inventor of the Morse code? All of you know about him, right? The man was a Christian. He wasn't a Baptist. He was a Congregationalist. Say, Brother Grady, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? Well, I'd be ashamed, of course. That's an old joke. Lord, something wrong this morning. What is it? Too many visitors in there? How many of you know why Italians like him wear gold chains? Got nowhere to stop shaving. All right. All right. Okay, listen, you new people, you're going to be screaming when I leave Wednesday. So ask the regulars here. Now, Samuel Morse grew up in Charlestown, Massachusetts in the 1800s. His father was a Congregational pastor. And there's a big biography written about him by a guy named Dr. S. Irenaeus Prime. That's the man's name. He's a secular writer is what I want you to understand. And he's about 900-page biography. This is one of the most famous inventors in American history, Samuel Morse, Morse code. And this is an excerpt out of that secular biography about this man, showing how spiritual he was. So this is a good saved man we're talking about. And watch it. I am so going somewhere with this, you're not going to believe it, okay? Quote, Professor Morse was a Christian in his faith and practice. In his long life, there was probably not an hour when his inquiring and inventive mind was perplexed with doubts or fears in regard to religious truth. He first made a public profession of religion in Charlestown, Massachusetts, in the church of which his father was pastor. He was the superintendent of its Sabbath school. That's their word for Sunday school. One of the first established in this country. When the family removed to New Haven, he became a member of the First Congregational Church of that city. Those who knew him most intimately and held communion with him in hours of retirement from the conflicts of the world knew that he was governed in all his actions by the fear of God and love of his fellow men. He had a sense of being surrounded at all times by the infinite and eternal in whom he lived and moved and had his being. He received the Word of God, that would have been the King James Bible at that period of history, the sacred scriptures as the guide and rule of his life, believing in their inspiration and never questioning their authority. That's a pretty good mouthful from probably an unsaved man. At least this wasn't a Christian biography. It's a biography by an historian. Now here's the most important thing I'm going to tell you this morning. It's going to blow your mind. When Mr. Morse was in Italy in the years 1830 and 1831, he was traveling at that time as an artist. He became acquainted with several ecclesiastics of the Church of Rome, one of whom, a cardinal, made a vigorous attack. This, by the way, this is still the same author talking. Made a vigorous attack upon the faith of the young artist, born again traditional Christianity. A correspondence between them ensued, and frequent interviews. Anybody got a weak battery in your heart monitor? You better check it. Mr. Morse was led to believe, from what he learned in Rome, that a political conspiracy under the cloak of a religious mission was formed against the United States of America. When he came to Paris in 1832 and enjoyed the confidence and friendship of Lafayette, a second major historical person that we know of, he stated his convictions to the general, who fully concurred with him in the reality of such a conspiracy. Returning to this country in the autumn of 1832, watch this, inventing the telegraph on his homeward voyage. That's how talented this man was. He invented the telegraph on a boat just coming back to America. Give him something to do. returning to this country in the autumn of 1832, inventing the telegraph on his homeward voyage, he never became so absorbed in his invention as to forget the impressions made in Italy respecting the danger to which his country was exposed. The conviction was so strong that he gave much time in subsequent years to the publication in periodicals and pamphlets and in volumes of the facts and arguments which in his judgment were important to a fair understanding of the subject, end of quote. Now here's the bottom line. What he found out from these Catholic leaders in Rome was that Rome, of course, has always wanted to destroy America because they couldn't control America because of the freedom of speech, freedom of religion. And this was a haven for saved people. Nobody didn't burn to the stake in America like they did all over Europe for believing that Bible. So Rome always wanted to destroy America. But after seeing the United States win two wars, two hot shooting wars, the American Revolution and the War of 1812, back to back, they realized it would be futile to talk French Canadians to attack or Mexican Catholics to come up from the South to invade America. America was too strong by this time. So the way to destroy America was going to be internally. And that was, the conspiracy is called the St. Leopold Foundation for the furtherance of Catholic missions in America. Remember what I said, under the cloak of a religious mission? We're going to send missionaries into, you know, America to get, you know, get them converted to Mary and the Pope and stuff. Freedom of religion, right? Freedom of religion. We're allowed to do what you do, and we're going to spread our Catholicism through the country. So the way they were going to do it was through massive Roman Catholic immigration. Not even illegal immigration, legal immigration at that time. They were going to spread Catholic doctrine into this country to take the thing over. That's what Morse found out about. Now watch, I don't know about you, but I'm not a sucker for all these silly things you always see on the internet, different weird stories that aren't true. Anybody remember that story about the microphone down in hell in Siberia, and they heard screams and groans down? Anybody? That's been going around for 30 years. These miners lowered a tape recorder down into a cavern, heard people screaming. That was debunked 30 years ago. That started in a liberal theological seminary in Norway or Denmark, one of those Scandinavian countries. The professor wanted to show his six or seven students how quickly a rumor could go. So they started it. That's been proven. Somebody said a lie can go around the world three times while truth is putting its boots on. And blah, blah, blah. And so, Peter Jennings, I quote him to you all the time from ABC News. He's dead now. He used to say, if you hear a rumor your mother loves you, check it out. So how many of you know I'm a footnote person? I don't. That story about the microphone in hell, if I took you back to my neighborhood where I grew up in New York and went into the Greek restaurant over there, hey, Basilius, and I told him that story, you know what that lost guy would say? The guy with the robe on and the gold chains and the hairy chest and the tattoos. You know what he'd say? Hey, Billy, Basilius, how come the heat didn't burn the wire? That's a lost person. The Christians hear that, I said, whoa. So I don't, you know me. When I put something in print, bro, it's accurate. Because I've got footnotes for it. Charles Spurgeon said, if a man would be read, he must read. If a man would be quoted, he must quote. So my books are full of bibliography entries and footnotes. I mean, I'm telling you something because this is so profound what I'm fixing to tell you. You ought to want to. You ought to get excited about having learned something that'll explain what you're watching on the news every week. Every week, every time somebody runs into your wife or husband in a car wreck and they disappear into their network as illegal citizens, you'll understand why that's going on tonight. I'm giving you the absolute source of it, and you can watch the History Channel till Jesus comes back, and you won't hear anybody talking about it. Right. Now, go to the Library of Congress like I did. And track down the interlibrary loan. That's what you got to go through. Any of your libraries can request a book that's not in circulation. If you'll wait a couple of months, they'll get a copy so you can read it. That's what I did. Well, what'd you read? How about Professor Morse wrote two books? They're not real big either. About what he discovered, and they're in print. Let me give you the titles. That's in this book. You don't have to write it down. Page 222. First title, Foreign Conspiracies Against the Liberties of the United States. And the second one is Imminent Dangers to the Free Institutions of the United States Through Foreign Immigration. Now, I can't tell you how cool all this is. I cannot. There's so many cool things. It started out of Vienna, Austria. We know the Catholic Church is very powerful. It was called the St. Leopold Foundation for the Furtherance of Catholic Missions in America. You don't know. I haven't gotten started yet. I'm going to watch that clock. I got the coolest stuff coming up any minute here. Thomas Jefferson, a generation before this happened, warned America, do not let Roman Catholics into this country. They will turn our country upside down overnight. But he was overruled eventually because of the dollar. More labor, more people coming in. Didn't matter what they believe. Like crazy Baptists that leave a good church, go across the country for a job making 10 cents an hour, more money than they were making. No idea if there's any churches out there. Letting this thing run your life. You'll pay for that at the judgment seat of Christ one day. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, this is so good, I can't believe it. Okay, what I'm going to tell you now, I get so excited about, because again, I don't like fairy tales. Did I spit on you? I get excited. What's that, Lord? How come Italians have short necks? All the time they stand in front of the judge. I never heard of the guy. Look at him, look at him. All right, blah, blah, blah. See, why do you do that? I'm like that cross-eyed javelin thrower. I'm not going to set any records, but I'll hold your attention while I'm up here. Say amen. That's my job, hold your attention. You don't get any cooler than this. Page 233. The heading is called Morse Vindicated. What's that all about? Well, I give you the dates of the two books that Morse put his views on paper, went on record telling you what's going to happen. And the Catholic population in this country was like that. After the books were written and printed, here's where the immigration went. 100% vindicated by the facts of historical record. Let me read you a couple of boring statistics, and then I'll get into something real crazy. When the record is examined, one discovers that events transpired exactly as Dr. Morse and his compatriots had predicted they would. Within 4 years of Thomas Jefferson's death in 1826, his nation showed a disastrous disregard for his sagacious warnings on immigration. For the two decades of 1810 to 1830, a mere 131,000 foreigners were absorbed into America. The total Catholic population was only 318,000 by 1830 compared to a total population of 12,800,000. See the difference? But then the St. Leopold Foundation began its diabolical work. Just 15 years later, over 100,000 immigrants were arriving annually. 2 years later, that figure was doubled. By 1850, the number of foreigners entering this country was up to 300,000 per year and pressing 500,000 per annum 4 years after that. Many believe those figures are woefully low. In just the three decades between 1830 and 1860, it was estimated that over 2 million immigrants entered the United States of America. Whereas the Catholic population had only been 30,000 at the time of the American Revolution, her numbers were ballooning at 3,103,000 by the eve of the Civil War, or roughly 10% of the entire nation's population. In 8 more years, the figure would exceed 5 million. Well, what's wrong with that? How many ever heard of a paddy wagon before? You know what a paddy wagon is? You know what paddy is? That's the most famous nickname for an Irish Catholic, paddy. Paddy wagon was the police trucks that were taking all the drunk Irishmen to jail all the time. The country changed overnight with the arrival of all these Roman Catholics. How many ever heard of the Mafia? Now, let me tell you something you never heard in all the history classes you went through in school. When this crazy stuff hit the fan, warfare broke out in this country in every major city in the country. New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, St. Louis. What do you mean warfare? I mean armed mobs of Roman Catholics fighting armed mobs of nativists. We call Indians Native Americans. The nativists at this time were considered the Protestant founders of the country. The Roman Catholics were the invaders. What do you mean wars? I don't know. Cannons? Guns? People shot and killed in the streets? Pitched battles, 20, 30,000 at a time? Fighting in the streets of our cities? I put this book out in 1996, and my preacher friends thought I was nutty, because nobody had ever heard of that. Would you like to know who vindicated me? Leonardo DiCaprio. Isn't that sick, perverted truth? Huh? The gangs in New York. Thank God for at least one worldly dude in the room. Jack Howe said, if we don't pick on you, we don't love you. He knows that. Did you hear what I said? The gangs in New York? Thank you. Got the Catholics and the Protestants killing each other with axes and daggers, knives. That went on in city by city all through the country for 30 years. The Civil War broke it all up. How could you make up stuff like this? Now, I'm going on, and I got a few more unbelievably cool things to tell you. I got a giant, a whole chapter on this. It's called the Devil's D-Day. You know, like when you land in somebody else's territory. Okay, blah, 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 chapter, blah, 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 blah. Okay. I mentioned Cardinal Francis Spellman, the most famous Catholic, right? His predecessor during this period of time, the Catholic bishop that laid the cornerstone for St. Patrick's Cathedral. You know, New York's the key city of the country. The Catholic Church of New York is the leader of the whole country. This was the Cardinal Francis Spellman of that day. His name was Cardinal John Hughes. When enough Catholics had gotten into the country and they were strong enough, he comes out of the closet to tell his whole church that everything those crazy Protestant fanatics were lying to everybody about us wasn't a lie after all. It's all true. We are sneaking into the country to take over. He said that in his number one sermon in his pulpit in New York, the top Catholic in the whole country at that time. I'm going to read you an excerpt from that documented sermon. This was in 1850. Bishop John Hughes. The title of his sermon was The Decline of Protestantism and Its Causes. Why did Protestantism going down and we're getting ready to take over the country? Quote, there is no secret about this. The object we hope to accomplish in time is to convert all pagan nations and all Protestant nations, even England with her proud parliament, an imperial sovereign. There is no secrecy in all this. It is the commission of God to his church and not a human project. Protestantism pretends to have discovered a great secret. This, you know, Morse is blowing a whistle on this stuff. Protestantism startles our eastern borders occasionally on the intention of the Pope with regard to the Valley of the Mississippi and dreams that it has made a wonderful discovery. Not at all. Everybody should now know it. Everybody should know that that's my Biden impersonation. Everybody. What's the most common expression you hear at an Italian funeral? If he'd only kept his mouth shut. I'm almost done. You're going to make me go later than I want to go. Everybody should know that we have for our mission to convert the world, including the inhabitants of the United States, the people of the cities and the people of the country, the officers of the Navy and the Marines, the commanders of the Army, the legislator, the Senate, the Cabinet, the President, and all. It took to 1960 for a Roman Catholic to get elected president of this country. You don't know it. Most of you weren't here. Kennedy had to go all around the country making speeches. If I get elected, I will make the Constitution my number one authority, not the Pope. And he's lying there because he's got to swear his allegiance to the Pope, who's not a religious leader, who's a political figure. That's why we have ambassadors to the Vatican. 90% of the Baptists have no clue about that. Vatican is a state. That's why they have their own radio station currency. Ambassadors. All right, blah, blah, blah. Is Joe Biden a good Catholic, the guy that's opening up the gates? Letting all the immigrants in? Good Catholic boy? I'm just giving you the background, if anybody's interested. Now, watch this. After he made that speech, everybody took their hoods off. They went nuts. Let me read you some quotes, two quotes from two Catholic newspapers in America. Here's, this is from the, listen to this, the Shepherd of the Valley. That's the official journal of the Bishop of St. Louis. I was out there that the other day in Independence, Missouri. I led a nice man, 80-year-old man to the Lord, grew up in St. Louis, Roman Catholic his whole life. And he hasn't missed a service since he got saved. He's in his wheelchair, but he's hanging in there. I told him when St. Louis Cathedral in St. Louis was built, they came in with a procession, first service, carrying the Catholic host up in the air like that, with the bishop and everybody behind them, all the guys dressing like mothers, calling themselves fathers, you know, all the dresses on, coming in like that. And as they came in, the American flag was there. When that Catholic host went by, they lowered the flag, let the host come by. That's your country. Let me read you a quote out of their newspaper. Ready? The church of necessity, the church is of necessity intolerant. In America, they got to act that way. They can't burn people at the stake here. Heresy she endures when and where she must, but she hates it and directs all her energies to destroy it. If Catholics ever gain a sufficient numerical majority in this country, religious freedom is at an end. So our enemies say, so we believe. End of quote. It's in print. That's footnote number 101. Do your research like I do it. Dig it out and see it for yourself. Now, John Hughes, the bishop, the number one hot dog in all the United States, here's his newspaper. It's called the New York Freeman. These are Catholic newspapers. If Catholics ever gain a sufficient numerical majority in this country, religious freedom is at an end. Oh, no, pardon me. That's the one I just read you. Here's Freeman. Here's Hughes' quote. No man has a right to choose his own religion. Footnote 102. Now, in the Catholic Church, when the Civil War broke out, that put a stall on everything. The Catholic Church declared itself neutral in our war, although it officially behind the scenes endorsed Jeff Davis and the Confederacy because they wanted to break the country in half, divide and conquer. Hello? And the war was over at the Battle of Gettysburg. Lee was defeated. But rather than chase down Lee's defeated army, the Union general let them sit there by the Potomac River. It was swelled up. They couldn't get across it. This isn't your part of the world down here. He let Lee's army sit there until the river went down, and then they were able to cross over and escape and fight for two more years. Lincoln said, you had him in the palm of your hands. Why'd you let him go? Anybody interested? In New York City, Hughes, the bad guy I'm telling you about, the bishop, he started something called the draft riots with the Irish Catholics in New York. You see that in the gangs in New York. And they started rioting. And $1 million in property damage, 1,000 black slaves were hung up by lamppost. And what's his name? Take one-third of his Union army at the time and go up to New York to put down the riots. So he didn't have enough manpower to finish off Lee. Bottom line was that Roman Catholic in New York triggered those riots so that Lee's army could get away. It's actually a matter of record. And that's how the war got extended. And all that to say this. Lincoln got assassinated. Let me read you two quotes, and I'm done. Lincoln got assassinated, right? Everybody involved with killing Lincoln was a Roman Catholic. We know that now. Anybody ever heard of Lew Wallace? He wrote Ben-Hur. They were, watch this, I'm finishing with this. There were 9 military Union officers that formed the tribunal that tried the Lincoln conspirators. They hung 4 people, remember? The first woman was ever executed, Mary Surratt. They were all fanatical Catholics, right? One of the men on that tribunal was a surgeon, as well as a general, Thomas Harris. These were the top minds in the military at the time. When the assassination plot and executions were all over, this general went on to do his own work of investigating. Several years later, getting a whole bunch of new evidence nobody had ever heard, he wrote a book. The title of his book was Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. I'm going to read you 2 quick quotes and we're done. It is clear that Rome is rapidly getting control of all the sources of power in the United States, both in civil and military affairs, that she is doing so in pursuance of a well-considered and wisely laid plan and for the very purpose of subverting our government. As for the blame of the assassination itself, Harris writes, quote, the Jesuit, you know, the Pope you have in Rome tonight is the first Jesuit that has ever served as a Pope. The Jesuit plans with the utmost art and cunning, unhampered by any moral restraints, and always with the utmost secrecy, and carries out his plans in the dark. We think, however, that in this case, we have succeeded in tracing him through all the devious wanderings of his dark and slimy path, and in fixing upon him the responsibility for the assassination of President Lincoln. Remember, this is one of the 9 officers handpicked by the government to try the Lincoln conspirators who executed him. This is not some guy who fell off a turnip truck lately. After presenting his case, General Harris concludes, thus the history of this great crime reveals to us Rome's responsibility for the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. You can get that book and read it too. In a recent reprint, I was asked to write the foreword to it. You can find it on Amazon in a minute if you're interested in more than just how many likes your duck video got last night. Thus, the history of this great crime reveals to us Rome's responsibility for the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Not as an individual man, however much of personal hatred on the part of the Jesuits might have led them to plan for his death, quote, but as the head of the nation they desired to destroy. And after that, I got one last quote from Abraham Lincoln himself. In 1864, he wrote this. If the American people could learn what I know of the fierce hatred of the priests of Rome against our institutions, our schools, our most sacred rights, and our so dearly bought liberties, they would drive them out as traitors. Nothing to do with hating people. It's got to do with knowing what's going on.
Yes.
You can't change any of it, but if you believe the third of what I said, you wouldn't be a dipwad Christian here. You'd be faithful to everything going on here, and you wouldn't be doo-doop, 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 a show up in church if nothing else going on.
Real quick, the stabilization that you're watching happen, there's nothing we can do about it, but it is good to know where it comes from. And it is, you know, with the riots, 30 years of riots, as you pointed out, then the Civil War broke up the riots. Well, we're watching riots, right? And they're increasing. And the first riots, they were burning flags. These riots, they're burning flags and what? Bibles. It's increasing. It's increasing. And all we do, I love what he said as far as it's just a reminder to let you know. Keep our eyes on the Lord. We're trying to be faithful. Amen. And Washington doesn't care what you think about how to solve the border problem. But in Texas, what Brother Grady says, you've heard me say this, that in the church in Texas, when we were in Dallas, everybody knew if an illegal got in a wreck with you, they walked. Most of the time, the cars they drove didn't have insurance. And when they hit you, they walked away, and your insurance paid for everything. So everybody always said when they left church in Dallas, Right, careful. That was, everybody knew what that meant. Because there were illegals in our country can rape, they can murder, and nothing happens to them. They're total. So what you're watching happen is a destabilization. And as far as it just helps me, amen, keep your eyes on the Lord. And I know God's got a plan, but America is being judged by God.
That's right.
You can't rape children for 60 years by the thousands a week. And America's the number one destination for child trafficking. God sees all of it. God sees all of it. So amen. Stay faithful. Stay in the Word. Praise the Lord. We know what's true. God bless you, Gabe. Thank you, Dr. Brady, so much. We need to fold up those tables. We need to make this room for Junior Church, and we'll see you in the auditorium in just a minute.
I'll take this filthy thing off.